Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session from Mesa City Council for Monday, December 12th, 2011. We'd like to first of all excuse the Vice Mayor and Councilmember Richens, who are both out of town and are unable to join us by phone. But we'll move on with the first item on the agenda, which is to review the agenda for tonight's regular City Council meeting. So we will start on page 2 with items 3A through 3C. Items 3D through 4C. Yeah, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I was looking at the liquor license issue. I was trying to figure out where it was.
Okay. That just happens so rarely.
We'll talk about that.
We moved it down to item 8A. Okay, we moved 3A to 8A. All right. Okay. I was looking for it, too.
I'm not losing my mind.
Okay, once again, 3D through 4C. Items 4D through 4H, and Mr. Brady.
I'm sorry.
4D?
4D okay. Through 4H, I understand.
And
we
you
have
will like
4E.
Pull 4E, that's correct.
So thank 4E you. Will be pulled from the agenda. Okay. Not off the consent, it's removed from the entire
removed
agenda.
Removed from the agenda.
Okay. 4I through 5C. 6A through 9A. Mr. Brady, I understand you have something on 9A.
Correct. On 9A, as I understand it, we would like to remove that item from this agenda and return back to the Public Safety Committee. Councilman Kavanaugh, are you okay with that? Bring
yes.
it back to clarify some issues there? Okay.
Okay. So item 9A is removed from the agenda.
8A is removed.
And item 8A.
But, no. 8A.
Well, not 8A removed. 8A, you have some update.
Correct.
I'm sorry. And we have an update on item 8A.
Forward.
Which was item 3A the last time we reviewed this agenda, but now it is item 8A, and we will hope that you may cease further confusing us and enlighten us, please.
Mayor and Council, we did put out a memo this afternoon, and I can go through the highlights of that if you'd like.
Yeah, why don't you just go through the highlights of the information as far as the transaction. You had kind of a recently the transaction of the this property in this past year went through a change in ownership. Why don't you kind of talk about those circumstances, just those dates, and then maybe give us, I guess there's previous ownership. How much detail can we go on that? Is that public record or?
Only the fact that liens have been filed, so I can discuss
okay.
the liens.
Yes.
I'm going to turn this over to Mickey Tate. She's got all the details on that. So,
hello, Mayor and Council members. The property in question changed hands in on August 10th, 2011, through a trustee deed at a public auction sale, and around the same time in early September, the tax department was informed of the new ownership change hands and the fact that a interim liquor license was being applied for and also a new tax license for the new owner was applied for at that same around about the same time. At the time, the prior owner had unfiled tax returns, so a large portion of the taxes were unknown. The taxes were not filed. But there were previous liens filed with regards to the property ownership and as well as the older business entity had an existing lien out at that particular time as well.
Since these tax returns were unfiled, do we have any idea as to whether this business was operating at the time of the trustee sale or whether it had ceased operations? prior to the trustee sale?
We were informed that as of September, at the time that the trustee sale, that it was, at that point, it was no longer in operation. So the unfiled period.
But you don't know how far before the trustee sale, the business had actually ceased operations.
We were in communication with the prior owner, and we did have a timeline of July.
So they shut down in July, the business. It was foreclosed upon, the real estate was foreclosed upon in August.
Yes.
Yes.
The new, I'm assuming this karaoke company, I'm not sure whether that was, I'm assuming that was the buyer. They bought the real estate out of a trustee sale.
Yes.
They did not buy it from the previous owner, right? They bought it from a trustee sale.
Correct.
Okay.
The property went into foreclosure and it was purchased at trustee.
And then it looks like in September they went in and did whatever they do to the property to fix it up. Or to, maybe they didn't do anything, maybe they did a lot, I don't know. Then they came in and in September filed for a new tax license with the city of Mesa under the new business and with for a temporary liquor license from the state of Arizona.
Well, the tax license was filed for in August, the end of August, August 25th.
Oh, okay, August 25th, all right.
And the interim tax license was filed with the liquor board September 13th, I believe.
Okay, so a couple, 3 weeks after they filed for a business. So they foreclosed on this the first part of August, then came in the last part of August to file new sales tax license application.
Correct.
And then filed about 2 or 3 weeks later with the state liquor board for a temporary liquor
and
license.
Their permit. And their permit.
Correct.
And their new license.
And their new license.
Yes.
Do you have any indication or anything to show that there was any connection between that older? The previous owner who owes us a lot of money and this new owner?
No. We do not believe there's any connection.
Okay. All right.
So just in summary, you had previous landowner and operator who had accrued a significant...
I apologize, Mr. Brady, but did the previous owner also own the land, or were they a lessee?
They were a related party lessee.
Okay, related party. So there's a connection there between the property owner and the business operator.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
And so they did accrue a significant tax liability, and a tax lien was filed for a significant amount of taxes based on for those two. However, apparently that business at that location went into foreclosure. And then this new
estate went into foreclosure.
Real estate
business, the owner, the land, the real estate, and a new owner, landowner, real estate transaction took place with a trustee sale in August, first part of August, and then they then applied and came in to get the licenses and get the permits to move forward. And so at that point, since we'd been dealing with the previous owners, we then approached the new owners about the previous existing liability. And I think the challenge we have here is if they're purchasing it from that existing owner, then those tax liabilities would obviously be more associated. We do believe that, I think that's the difficulty is here is where does the responsibility lie? Someone could suggest that, anyone coming and purchasing real estate or a business should look at that. There is a form that's referred to as the letter of good standing that was never requested of us to determine what liens may be out there, what liabilities may be out there. So here we are today, and I think that's what just drove the staff, because they had a history working with this location and the owners and operators that they took an opportunity to try to address this with the new owner. Again, it's a more difficult maybe situation with this being a trustee sale and a real estate sale, and how much obligation responsibility did that new property owner have to determine what liabilities existed previously.
Councilman Finter.
And correct me if I'm wrong, when you do a trustee sale, subsequent liens, you foreclose a position, but lien owners have the opportunity to buy out or make bid on the trust. It's complicated law, but I thought at some part of the process you wipe out any subsequent liens or positions when you do a trustee sale. So
previous, yeah. Well, the problem is our sales tax lien was not against the property.
It's a blanket lien for all real and personal property.
So it's a on the other hand, you know, we indicated we believe this business, we don't know when it went out of operation. That's, do we have July, possibly? You mentioned July.
July.
And now we have someone who's come in bringing the property back, and now we have a business. They're willing to pay, they're certainly actively paying taxes now going forward, I'm assuming, as our records show. At least they've made application. So it's kind of, you kind of want to balance out the idea that someone's coming and taking it in a foreclosed business and trying to make it work versus how far back do we go and trying to rectify those issues that had not been paid to the city.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I
have no problem with our approach, which is to try and make sure that people do not walk from obligation to the city simply by shutting their doors. I know people do that. I've seen people who shut down in one city and move across the city line to start up another business, and they have a blatant disregard for their real obligations. I also don't have any problem with us if there are, if there is a transaction where the existing owner or the owner who owes taxes receives any kind of compensation, funds, whatever, that somehow we should be getting our rightful amount rather than that person who has dodged on their taxes getting that rightful amount. That I have absolutely no problem with. I'm a little bit torn here because I'm not sure that it's fair to a new business owner who is coming in to invest in a property that has been shuttered, that is not operating, to say that we're going to discourage them from taking on the obligations of a new business and opening it back up because you have to first pay for a liability that you had nothing to do with when they're not paying any compensation or any consideration to the person directly or indirectly that created the debt. Does that make sense? And in this one where we have a trustee sale, where we have a closed business, I don't think there's not a perfect answer. This is one of those real gray area type things. I don't feel comfortable going after this at this time. I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong because I think it's admirable, and I think we have been successful in collecting monies where monies are rightfully due from people who otherwise would dodge those, and they become very good at dodging those. On the other hand, I think we need to balance it between legitimate investments in businesses, which we want to encourage. I mean, I guess the other side is if we want to stick that out there and say you cannot do this unless you pay us, and if our objective is to make sure that building is unused, we'll probably be very successful in that. It'll probably sit there empty for quite a long time, hoping that someday someone's going to come in and they're going to drive down the cost of the property enough to pay that lien. I don't know if that's the business I want the city to be in, but, you know, once again, I feel really torn on this because I don't like the idea of someone walking away from their legitimate obligations. On the other hand, I don't want to really put an unfair burden or a real discouragement on somebody who is willing to come in and invest in our city to reopen a failed business and pay taxes and create a commercial activity where there was none.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, there's actually a couple components going on here. The first, the item that's in front of you for consideration tonight is whether or not to recommend to the liquor board moving ahead with this license. We could go ahead and let that go through and continue to pursue the tax issue through our normal processes. The business would have due process process incorporated in there. So they could contest the assessment, and they could take it to a hearing as well as
the
tax court if it goes to. Yes.
Right.
So
okay.
If they dispute that.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
And you don't think that's an unfair burden on a new business to have to hire an attorney and come to a hearing and say, gee, but we gave you your due process for a debt you didn't know?
What I'm saying that due process itself would start that decision and that debate about whether or not we are assessing that tax in a fair and equitable manner per
okay,
the
well, let me go. I mean, I appreciate the dilemma you're going through, but does due process apply to somebody who has no real obligation? Is that really due process?
So
wouldn't due process be?
Mayor, I don't think staff has an opinion about that policy,
no.
And that's why we're not going to comment on that. But I think what we presented to you the facts.
Thank you for saving them, Mr. Brigg. I think your answer is a good answer.
He was being led by the prosecuting attorney there.
And so, I appreciate the.
So we like to shift this back to you all and to say, listen, here are the facts. The fact is there is a lien on the property. Now, whether we continue to pursue that, that's a separate matter than what's here before us today. Here before us today is whether we want to contest the liquor license that they're applying for. We found an opportunity maybe to provide leverage. Obviously, they're not interested. They haven't expressed any interest in settling up. One could argue that wouldn't it be better for them to be profitable and making some, bringing some dollars in as we may try to have some discussion about any amount that we could recover, if any at all. And that to me is another discussion today is, at this moment, the application of the liquor license, do we want to comment on that or recommend to that? And if we say, listen, this matter is not that clear cut, we can pass, let this continue, and whether or not we want to pursue the prior lien on this new property owner, that can maybe be a discussion for another time.
Well, I don't know why there would be any discussion on whether to continue to pursue a lien against somebody who owes us tax. The question is, do we pursue it against the current business owner? That's a separate discussion.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
And I wasn't trying
that's
to make
right.
you look. I just was trying to make a point that sometimes we inadvertently create issues. And this is a tough issue. I get it. Because this is a gray area as to where that line is. I get that. And I know that staff's in a tough place, and I appreciate the work you do to try and collect for the city those obligations that are rightfully due to us, which is what we should do. So please don't take this thing. Please don't take this as thinking as an indication that I don't want to collect bad debts to the city. Absolutely, we should do whatever we can. So let's take the first one. Do we want to pass this on, which is really the question at hand, to the State Liquor Board with a recommendation of denial or do we want to put it forward with no comment and then let's talk about how we're going to pursue the lien on in a different question.
Councilman, I'm okay with putting it back on consent to move forward for approval to the State Liquor Board.
Okay, Dennis is not. So we'll leave it off consent, and we'll talk about it in the regular meeting then.
Okay.
And then what I think we may want to do is, I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this, but this is about the third or fourth time I've had this issue come up where subsequent owners have been asked by the city to make good on debts that were due to them. And I'll tell you, it's sort of split. I think this is at least the fourth time that I've been made aware of a situation. And a couple of the times, I told the people, I think you had an obligation to really know this existed, and I don't feel that sorry for you. On another couple of times, I felt like, maybe that they had a good point, that this was not really fair. So I think maybe we can talk a little bit more about maybe some guidelines and a policy of how we move that
Councilman
forward.
Councilman Venture, would this be an appropriate topic for audit and finance and kind of maybe go through a few discussions on that and maybe then bring it to the council?
Yeah, because I don't think we're going to come up with a perfect rule because there's so many different variations of that. But like I said, you would think this doesn't come up much, but I think this is at least the fourth time that I've been made aware by constituents who have called me and said, and all the others we resolved through other issues before it got to council. They didn't involve liquor licenses. They involved other things, building permits and things like that that we held up. But it does come up more frequently than you think. So we'll leave it off the we'll leave 8A off the
put it back on consent.
No, because Councilmember
Kavanaugh
wants it to stay off.
Leave
consent.
It at 8A. Okay.
We'll leave it as 8A, and we'll handle it as a separate item on the recommendation going forward to the State Liquor Board.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Anything else?
Well,
yeah, Councilmember
Higgins. Thank you. Are we going to have time to actually talk a little bit about the Topaz, just the program, not necessarily the IGA, but?
Well, I think it's posted for the discussion on the IGA, is it not? So that's what we would.
And I think how I understand it is that there were some unanswered questions related to the IGA. And so that was going to be, staff was going to go back and work on that and take it back through public safety to address those specific issues.
Right.
And
before it came back to council.
And at some point, can we have like an update of where the whole Topaz system is?
Oh, sure.
Who's in it and who's out and how it's going?
Oh, yeah.
And
we could, maybe we could broaden the conversation when we bring back to council.
That would be great.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Next item. Review and discuss amendment to the 2011-12 Mesa Police Association Memorandum of Understanding. And also, let's treat these as items 2A and 2B, although they have to be acted upon separately because they're in different status situations. Item 2B is the same issue as it relates to the Firefighters Association. So, Mr. Brady, if you would explain to us why they are two different, why we have them in front of us, and also why they are different items.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Well, as Mayor and Council, as you recall, both of these items, or both of the associations, we have separate MOUs with as it relates to our Beat and Confer ordinance. As such, we would have to deal with these separately. Now, the last direction we received from Council is to move forward with the restoration of the 2% for all the remaining employees that are not represented under these two MOUs, which we've done and given that direction. But because the direction was to go and meet with and discuss with the representatives from the Mesa Police Association as well as the Fire Association regarding their preference for the dollar amount related to the 2%. When we had negotiated the memorandum of understanding with the Firefighter Association, it was actually contemplated in there verbiage that if the city made the decision to restore the 2% to the remaining employees, then that option would be available to them. So, and they've indicated to us via email that is their preference. And so we wouldn't really, I just want to make sure you all know and aware there wouldn't be any other action because it was already contemplated in the MOU.
In other words, there's wording in the MOU that says if you give this to the others and
right.
we agree, then we don't have to amend or otherwise change this MOU. It's already
correct.
Covered.
That is correct. Okay. Now, as far as the Police Association member understanding, we just recently approved that and did not have, and the idea we in that MOU contemplated us coming back at a time such as this in regards to issues related to compensation. So that would actually have to be amended.
Did not have the same clause.
Didn't have the same provision. So we'd actually have to provide that amendment. Again, they've indicated to us they would support the 2% pay restoration, which we will do. Also included in there will be an amount also to have a slight increase in the uniform allowance for both the uniform and civilian. Well, I guess for them specifically is for the uniform sworn officers, a slight increase in uniform allowance, which they've requested, and we would support. So those are the two items. We want to make sure council's just aware of that direction. 2B really just needs to give concurrence again to move forward with that. And then I think on 2A, we'd actually have to bring that memo to the city council for your approval.
Okay, so nothing is required on 2B. You've reported to us that they have indicated
right.
to you an acceptance of the 2%.
Correct.
2A, they've Police Association has indicated that they accept the 2%, or they choose the 2%. We've accepted that, and now you need to drop an amendment.
And that is
a formal amendment
item
for us to
5C
approve.
On your agenda today.
Okay.
I apologize. I want to make sure it's clear.
Right.
That's actually 5C, but we just wanted to make sure you understood so that we went ahead and anticipated council's agreement to that. But that is why 5C, I believe that's correct.
Right.
Is it still 5C? Yes.
It was 3B in the
I know. I was wondering. I was
3J
looking in the wrong place the first
5C.
Time. I got a little nervous.
By the time we get to the meeting, it may be 6X.
So 5C. So tonight, action. We just wanted to, a study session in case there were any further questions. But both of those items can now be addressed. One, the Police Association amendment is on the council posted for action tonight. And the fire is not needed to be posted for action because it was already contemplated in previous action by the council.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions? All righty. Thank you very much. Okay, next item, any reports, conferences, or attended? Mr. Brady?
Wow. That's No reports? Come on,
okay.
Dennis.
Give Mr. Brady time to catch his breath.
He's got to catch up.
Last Thursday night, we had the Building Stronger Neighborhoods meeting in the Canal East neighborhood. We had, as again, per District 3, we had almost 100 people attending. It was very well attended.
Very good.
And it was our staff did a fantastic job setting it up. We got a lot of great feedback from the community. And then on Saturday morning, we had a very successful pancake breakfast. And I have to tell you, our community came together for the toy drive for the Children's Hospital in a very special way. Communities. Generosity has allowed us to double the number of toys that we collected last year. And Santa, who lives in District 3, in Marble Mesa in particular, will be riding our 1941 fire truck on Thursday morning with the 600-plus toys for the kids at the hospital. Thanks.
And thank Councilman, you even had, we were serenaded during the breakfast, too, but you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, one of the great events. The kids, a choral group at Red Mountain High School, called up and said they wanted to do a community project and support our efforts in the toy drive. So I want to thank Councilmember Higgins for her constituents coming and providing entertainment for everyone.
They were costumed and everything. Costume. It was wonderful.
So it made it a it set a high bar for
Brother
Pancake Breakfast, so if you want to do it. So, but it was a very successful event. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Just to remind the council that we have a study session this Thursday, and that'll be our last meeting of the City Council for 2011, and our first council meeting in the new year 2012 will be Monday, January 9th.
Okay, great. There's nothing else. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilman Fender, second from Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.